Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Peresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Imagine what it would feel like to have support as an elementary music teacher each and every week. If you're feeling like you're hanging on by a thread, you're frustrated not knowing where to start when it comes to planning, or you're worn out and thinking that work-life balance doesn't even exist and is unattainable, then the Harmony membership is exactly where you need to be. I want you to consider what it would feel like to get the support you need all school year long in a safe space where you can ask any and all questions you have. Think about how it would feel to have your time back while not needing to stay so late after school to plan. And imagine how much richer your life will be when you have time to pursue hobbies like your musical passion outside of the classroom. If this sounds like something you need, then head to harmonymembership.teachable.com/p/harmonyhub and I'll see you inside.
I'm Andrew Murata, host of the Education Leadership and Beyond podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you are listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. It is officially May. Happy May 1st at the time of this episode dropping. And you may be listening into this episode a different day, but at the time of this recording and the time the episode comes out, it is May 1st. So it's going to be May, as Justin Timberlake accidentally said, or maybe did on purpose. I'm not sure. But anyways, this episode is about what's worked well this school year. I am not done with my school year yet, and you probably are not either, but I love to do some reflecting at the end of a school year, or as those of you know, which I'll get into that, I have not been in the classroom in a few years because I've been doing a lot of other things, and now I'm doing a lot of other things plus teaching. So anyways, our journeys can take a lot of different paths, right? But I wanted to talk about what's worked well for me. Being at a new school in a new position, there was music, but it was, I don't know, there's a lot to it. But what worked well, in my opinion, other teachers there may have different opinions or the students, but from doing some self-reflection, this is what I think worked well this school year. So first of all, I am very grateful for, not only do I teach in my curriculum design roadmap course about designing curriculum for the entire school year and provide lesson plans for the entire school year in my Harmony membership, I have used those same lessons and modules that I've taught and applied it to my own teaching situation. And those of you who have gone through the course or the membership or you're in both, you know I talk a lot about making the lesson plans your own, creating curriculum that works for you. And so that's what I've done. It's really helped me to look at the entire year and then work backwards and know what units do I want to teach? When do I want to teach them? What order do I want to put them in? What songs and lessons do I want to pull from? And that is something I'm very grateful for. It makes planning so much easier. It takes the stress out of sitting down and saying, what am I teaching this week? Because it's pretty much already mapped out with a couple of tweaks here or there. I'm grateful that I have my curriculum map, scope, and sequence already laid out because then I'm able to also make Google Slides for each week. And that helps me to know where I'm going. I maybe link to a YouTube video or maybe to a website or maybe to a piece of sheet music or lyrics that I need to pull up in those Google Slides. And so that is something I've worked on a lot this year. because since my plans were already pretty much done, of course, I'm going to edit and adapt them as I go. But I was able to focus more on the Google Slides and create those. And then I'm grateful that next school year moving forward, I have those Google Slides ready. And then all I have to do is go in there and adjust them and, you know, tweak them a little bit based on where my students are next year and what I'm teaching. Another thing that's worked well this school year is getting to know my students. I feel like this is something that can be a struggle. Honestly, in my opinion, I feel like it's when teachers that see a lot of students, like you're at a huge school, it can take longer to get to know your students. It can be overwhelming whether you're at a small school like I'm at or a big school when you're new. You're learning everybody's names from scratch, not just the new kids, not just the kids that are coming up in preschool or kindergarten. You're learning everybody's names all at once. And so what's worked well for me is slowly getting to know my students. And so I started, some start with the younger kids up, but I started with my older kids down because I wanted to get buy-in from my older kiddos first before I got buy-in from the littles. And that's just the way I wanted to do it. So slowly focused on not just learning their names, but it's really important, but really sharing about me, letting them know about myself, showing them pictures of my family, talking to them about stories and relating it back to what we're learning in the music classroom, and then asking them to share about themselves. And we slowly started to get to know each other. And then it just made everything run smoother. And we had this trust factor there where they knew I loved them and they knew that I cared about them and they knew they could talk to me. And I've talked about that a lot, is to leave wiggle room. And by the way, everything that I've ever said on this podcast or anywhere you've seen me do a presentation or anything is what I really do practice. I practice what I preach. So when I talk about lesson planning and I say to leave about 5 to 10 minutes of wiggle room in your lessons, maybe you don't have 10 minutes. So at least five, to leave open space in your lessons to be able to talk, to be able to answer questions, to be able to ask questions. I think it's so important. And I think that's a huge part of relationship building. And so for my students, that's what I did, is leave that open space to naturally be able to talk about things. Or maybe it's even something about the lesson we just did, or maybe it was about a particular song or a story we read, and to be able to talk about that particular thing. So perfect example is like a couple of weeks ago, we did some, I don't know, this activity about a campfire. Anyways, all that to say, this student started talking to me about how they were going camping and where they like to camp and why his family likes to camp, all because of this one topic came up, and it really helped us start a conversation about how we like to do fire pits in my backyard and things like that. So look for those open opportunities to talk to your students. And that's worked well this school year. And some of these students that are harder to connect with, we have a couple that I call runners. You all know what I'm talking about, that just really have a hard time sitting still and paying attention. And there's one child who has really connected with me. And I put a stool by me, and that's his spot. And he knows that as long as he's next to me, he doesn't run around. I don't know how that works, and it just does. It's just a trial and effort thing. But I'm really proud of the fact that I have not given up, and those kids that don't fit the typical mold, finding what works for them and do that. So just really getting to know my students, I feel like, has gone really well. I feel like the first time, my school is really, it's a private school, so the Christmas concert is a huge deal. It's a school combined concert. And to be honest with you, when I first was in a meeting hearing them talk about it, I think they could tell my face was overwhelmed, not about putting on a concert, but the fact that they were saying every student is up there at once. And I was like, how the heck does that work? Like, I've never done that. I've done it by grade level. I've combined two grade levels maybe at a time, but not everyone. So I went back to the drawing board and started. I've also talked about in Harmony, by the way, you guys have that program planning guide. And I use that for myself, planning backwards and saying, okay, what songs, if I'm doing this with everybody, how does this work? How do I get one group at a time to stand up and sing their songs? What are they doing to their songs? What's the theme of this program? What do they do when they're sitting? How do we transition them on and off the risers? All those logistical things, I planned it down to a T, because I feel like the more planning that goes into, of course, weekly lessons, but also your performances, it will go smoother, especially if it's your first time planning a performance at a brand new school. So that worked really well. I really do feel like it went good. I feel like now that I know the way my school likes to do it, then going into next year, I'm kind of already have ideas planned. Of course I do, because I'm an uber planner. But I really am just proud of the fact that I was able to put on this concert that I think went really well. And the students enjoyed it, and it looked like the teachers and parents enjoyed it. And so it really brought a lot of joy to my life and my heart. And I could go on and on, but I wanted to just name four things. So the fourth thing I want to talk about is I feel like what worked really well is planning different lessons that met a variety of learning styles. I have talked about that on this podcast before, that I feel like I am an out-of-the-box thinker, but I also sometimes feel like the black sheep in the music ed community because I don't just identify with one teaching approach. I love them all. And so I pull from a variety of teaching methods and teaching ideas and different lesson approaches and things. So I have a lot going on. And sometimes we're standing and doing a folk dance. And the next time you'll find us doing bucket drumming. And the next time you'll find students doing something with body percussion. And the next time it's a boom whacker play along. And then we're really focusing on singing while we're patting the steady beat. So there's a lot going on all the time. And I feel like that is something that, I don't know, I just love to do. I love to talk about pacing lessons, and I love to talk about structuring your class time. And so for me, it's all about keeping pacing going and keeping those transitions smooth. And I love finding ways to connect the dots from the minute the kids come in and what they're doing the whole entire music lesson until the minute they leave. So I love finding a way to cater to different learning styles. And I talk to my students about that. And I think it's okay to talk to them about that. Some lessons you're going to like more than others. Some different things we do in here. Some you're going to love the instrument. Some will love singing. Some are going to love doing movement. Some are going to love the manipulatives and whatever else. And so I think it's okay to talk to students about some things you're going to love, some things you're going to like, and some is just not your cup of tea, but participating in it is still important because dot, dot, dot. So I think it's important to always bring it back to the students and the way they learn and finding a variety of opportunities for them to do that. So I would love for you to do reflection about what has worked for you this school year, what's worked well. Don't just focus on the negative, but focus on also the positives and how you can spin those things that maybe didn't go so well into positives as well. So coming up in a couple of weeks, I am going to talk about that. I'm going to flip this around and talk about what I would have done differently this school year. So there are things that I definitely think could have gone better, and going into next school year, I'm determined to fix it. So listen in to that episode coming soon and have a great week. I'll see you soon. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.